Mary Helen Speck's novel, Migratory Animals, is a distinctly Texas story about a circle of friends in their 30s living in Austin and grappling with a myriad of conflicts. The novel is also set in Nigeria, a place where Flannery, the central character, learns about love and carries that understanding back to her home state of Texas, where she tries to resume her old life. Texas Public Radio's Yvette Benavides spoke to Mary Helen Speck about researching the novel and her writing process.
I was living in Nigeria on a grant studying African literature, and I'd always been a fiction writer. But when I got back, a number of people in the book industry convinced me that I should try to write a memoir about my experience there. However, I found that I was more interested in writing about the what ifs than really writing about what actually happened. I did end up writing a few essays about my time there, but when I would sit down to write, I was more interested in thinking about things like what kind of person might have stayed in Nigeria. What if there was an American scientist who felt she'd finally, you know, found love and a home in West Africa, but wasn't allowed to stay? What if that scientist had a sister? And so the what ifs kind of cascaded, and that's how it ended up being a novel instead of a memoir.
Well, it is a little bit of also a love letter to Nigeria. So you've spent a mm-hmm. lot of time there. And the affinity that the main character, Flannery, has for that place really comes through so vividly in the novel.
Well, thank you. I had a very difficult time with the Nigerian section because when I was studying literature in Nigeria, I was very aware of the pitfalls of literary representation of Africa by Westerners. So sometimes even in the writing, I would be a little bit paralyzed by some of those pitfalls about writing about a historically kind of marginalized country. So I really tried to portray it as multidimensionally as I could. I spent a lot of time kind of poring through the notebooks that I had filled with descriptions when I lived there, looking for the kind of details that could show this is a country that was both, you know, both did have the kind of rural huts people think of, but also had, you know, gleaming modern houses and, you know, villages without running water, but also these big complex concrete modern flyovers. And so I really was trying to give that kind of view of Nigeria that I feel like in the West we often don't have, if that makes sense.
It does. And also the other place that really comes through so vividly is Austin, Texas, and its many, many dimensions. And you live there now?
Yes, I live in Austin now. I grew up in West Texas, but I didn't live in Texas for most of my 20s. I spent most of my 20s traveling and living in different places. And after I came back from Nigeria, I was lucky enough to get a residency at a ranch outside of Austin. And I kind of fell back in love with this kind of area of the country and ended up setting the other half of the novel here.
And that was the Dobi Paisano?
Yes.
And what was
the Dobi Paisano?
And so one of the characters in your novel is also doing a residency at a ranch. Was that inspired by your stay at the Dobi Paisano ranch?
Absolutely. Obviously, what happens to her there and her own experience there is fictional, but the descriptions of the place itself are very much based on my time living there. It was pretty amazing. It's, you know, a defunct ranch of 250 acres, and there's only one writer there at a time. And so I just kind of found that sense of kind of going back to an older kind of sense of Texas was really interesting. And so I use that for my character, who's a weaver on an artistic kind of residency, but in a much more emotionally fragile place.
Mm-hmm. And the place that you describe, most people, I guess they can read about the ranch, but the place that you describe comes through so clearly, you know, people that can never hope to go there can actually picture it. And just the level of solitude that mm-hmm. that the character goes through, and also because of this very fragile place that she's in. And then she welcomes another character onto the ranch. And we can talk about that in a second, but it just seems to me like just that level of solitude, was that helpful to you as a writer?
I personally loved it. There are some writers that get this fellowship that I think are a little bit know, they think that they want that much solitude and maybe they don't. But I was also coming back from living in a very large Nigerian metropolis in a culture where people, you know, very wonderfully drop by all time, you know, any hour of the day without notice. This kind of very vibrant place. And so for me, it was the perfect, the ranch was the perfect spot to go and be able to reflect on that experience and really be by myself and really let it filter through my mind without distraction. Mm-hmm. So it was a magical time for me.
Having lived in Austin for 6 years, I felt like you nailed it. I mean, just everything, you know, places and parts of the city, the monk parakeets, you know, those beautiful green birds. But also going back to the flora and the fauna, the pecan trees, the way that you described the sycamore tree, those details were just so dead on. I just felt like, wow, this is Texas. This is how somebody writes Texas.
Well, thank you. I'm very grateful to hear that. And it's actually a little bit interesting. And over the drafts of writing the book, there's actually been a lot more setting detail and concrete detail that I actually have cut back, because my tendency is to write so much in that direction it can kind of take over the narrative. And so I have to, in my later drafts, go back through and decide which of those details are doing the most work and I can keep, and which ones I have to let go. And that's always a really hard process for me.
What's so interesting about this novel with the characters is I was trying to describe the novel to somebody, and I said, you know, it's sort of like, I was so embarrassed that I said this because it really isn't right. I said something like, it's like the 30-something people, you know, that old TV show with the ensemble cast, because mm-hmm. there is this alternating narrative from chapter to chapter, Flannery and Molly and Santiago and Alice and so on. But it's so much more than that. The way that you build the novel and the way that it develops over these differing narratives, it's more than just saying, oh, there's an alternating narrator, or, you know, everybody gets a chapter and there are these stories sort of competing in the novel. I mean, Flannery really does come through as the mm-hmm. protagonist, but every single character is so interesting. You know, I would finish one chapter and be sorry that it was over because it was a Molly chapter, and then I would see, you know, here comes an Alice chapter, and I was excited to read a chapter about another character that I had fallen in love with. So it's just so effectively sort of built around these narratives with all of these different characters, the women and the men in the story. And there's just such a richness in the diversity of the voices and the conflicts that each one is enduring. So where did those characters come from?
First of all, thank you for saying that. That's character to me is the heart of all good fiction, and so that's a wonderful compliment for me. And it's also, I think, the reason that I moved into the novel. For, you know, for many years I was a short story writer, but I was really interested in exploring how multiple lives intertwine and affect each other over time. And so kind of doing a group book, in a sense, was the reason that I kind of moved into long form. And I think for me, what ties the book together is kind of friendship between these different characters. In terms of how they emerged for me, I don't fully understand how I arrive at my characters. And when I say that, it's not because I'm channeling them from the other side in some sort of mystical process. I'm certainly aware of myself as a creator. But sometimes it's hard to articulate, you know, where life ends and the kind of imaginative reworking of it begins. It usually begins with curiosity about something that I've experienced or observed. For example, the Huntington's disease NPR story kind of started me down the path that Molly and Flannery take in the book. The character of Alice, I definitely can say emerged from my interest and kind of observations as being in the 30s myself, concerning the kind of culture of contemporary motherhood. She struggles with connecting emotionally with her children, which is something that is not really viewed as permissible in our society, I think. The mother-child bond is commonly viewed as something, you know, automatic, you know, a bolt of lightning that hits every woman when she first, you know, sees her baby. So in reality, that isn't necessarily the case. And so I began exploring that idea, and through many drafts, Alice, I hope, took on a constellation of other characteristics that ultimately make her feel real and independent. And by, you know, the last handful of drafts, for me, they just are people, and it's more like I'm trying to figure out what would they actually do in this situation than I am creating them anymore. Like, they've somehow kind of taken over the narrative, and I'm following them rather than kind of coaxing them like I am in the first few drafts. I certainly don't want to say I don't steal from life, because I think, like most writers, everything kind of emerges from what I see around me. But by the end of all these drafts and kind of having a final product, the characters are not like any, you know, one individual, for example, that I know in real life.
Mary Helen Speck's work has appeared in the New York Times and the Colorado Review. She is a former Fulbright scholar as well as a Dobie Paisano Writing Fellow. She lives in Austin and teaches at St. Edward's University. Migratory Animals is her debut novel.